Good morning, sowers. It is Thursday, June the 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Gang, we're running hard now. We can see the finish line on 1 John. So let's stay in the game. Let's stay with the race. Let's begin today with consecration. Just know Jesus. He's been waiting on us to open up. He's been waiting on us to get out of bed. He's wanting to open the store. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We got two jobs today, right? Number one, get out of bed. Number two, rise from the dead. How about that? Today's entry, fittingly, is entitled Getting On with the Gospel. Getting on with it. Our text is 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Today's text is difficult to understand. It's hard to understand the context John is speaking into and the problem he is addressing when he advises against praying for people that commit sins that lead to death. Like you, I wish he had said more. John has named three sins that lead to death: disbelief in Jesus Christ, disobeying God's commands, and not loving brothers and sisters. He's basically speaking of people who are walking in the dark. What I find most interesting about today's text is the idea that if we pray for brothers and sisters who are caught in some kind of sin that doesn't lead to death, the result is God will give them life. The bigger and, in this instance, more implicit implication is the incompatibility of eternal life with sin and death. As we come to the end of John's message, we need to be reminded of one of the major assumptions of the New Testament. Okay, brace for it. Eternal life means freedom from sin and ultimate deliverance from death. Sin has lost its power. Death has lost its sting. The New Testament repeatedly calls us to live into the new reality of eternal life. Here's another example, very clear statement from Paul in Romans. He says, "So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." That's Romans 6:11. So here's my practical summary of today's text. It's time to get on with the gospel, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to claim the promise of eternal life. And we must pray for, encourage, and help one another to do the same. That's exactly how I think about my ministry of encouraging others to look at Scripture day after day after day. It's to help us get on with the gospel, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and live into the promise of eternal life. Progress in the gospel does not advance by amping up our commitment. It happens through becoming gut-level honest with ourselves and each other about our own desires. We must keep asking ourselves the hard questions, like, do I really desire to get on with the gospel? Do I desire to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit? Did I desire to live into the promise of eternal life today? Kind of looking back on the day, looking ahead, looking back. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are eternal life. And to know you is to experience eternal life now. Reveal to me the plain truth that my lack of experience of eternal life is a revelation, a gifted revelation of the quality of my relationship with you. Come, Holy Spirit, and grow my relationship with Jesus in ways I can't even imagine now. I'm praying in your name, Jesus. Amen. The journal prompts. Have you settled for religious practice instead of pressing into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you really want to grow beyond your current level of relationship with Jesus? What will this mean? Are you so dissatisfied with the status quo that you will risk going for it in a way that you have not before? We're going to sing in a minute. I love this one. You love it too. It's called "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." It's number 603. Nobody knows who wrote this song, but we all kind of have a memory of singing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know the one, 603, if you want to get your page turned. And if you haven't got a hymnal, guys, come on. Order one. It's linked every day in the email in the sing section. We're going to sing our way all through the summer of encouragement. And I love the notion that I'm picking up the same book that you're picking up, and we're singing together across these miles. And the beautiful thing is that, you know, there's no distance in the kingdom of God, because we're all joined together in the heavens. We got seats in the heavens. And my sense of it is when we pray, like from however far apart we are, when we pray, we're sitting right by each other in heaven, right in the presence of Jesus, the ascended Lord, who is seated at the right hand. You know, the Bible, the New Testament says we are seated in heavenly places. And my sense is this is what it means. We are on earth, as we are in heaven, we have a seat there. Jesus, remember, he said, I go there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Okay? This text, friends, I didn't know this was coming this morning, but this is not a funeral text. When Jesus is talking to his disciples there, I believe it's in John chapter 14, he's not talking to them about their death. You know, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. trust also in me. Then he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Let's just say seats. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He's not talking about their death. He's talking about his death. He's talking about his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and how this relationship is going to work when they feel like they're an eternity apart. He's like, I'm going there to prepare a place for you, that where I am right here, right now, you may be also. This is the whole thing about eternal life. And because we've understood eternal life wrong, that's shaped our entire view of how we read the Bible. We think, oh, he's talking about the future. No, it includes the future, but he's talking about right now. And so when we come together, however far apart we may be on earth, we're in the same room. We're in the new room. We're seated in heavenly place. Our seats are very close. We're like knee to knee. And Jesus is right there with us. And he's like, let's pray. Let's do things here in this room that are going to affect the world. This is why the first petition of his prayer is, you know, past hallowed be thy name, most important, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you picking up what I'm laying down this morning? This is why he's talking in this text today. He says, pray for them. If your brother or sister, if you see him committing a sin, doesn't lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. We don't understand prayer, friends. There's so much to be said. I've said enough. I mean, I've said too much. I've said a lot on prayer before, but prayer's not what we thought it was. Most of the prayer that I've been a part of and engaged in, it's just what I'd call reverse delegation. It's just trying to get God to do something for us. And he's like, you give them something to eat. He's like, listen, can we stop trying to get me in that boat with you? And could you come out here on the water with me? You're my witnesses. You're my agents. I've invested you with my power. John 14, he keeps going. He says, greater things will you do than these. Why? Because I go to the Father. We're going to live in this dynamic of seated in heavenly places, walking on earth, learning to pray in the authority of the kingdom of God, releasing the power, the love, the light, the life, the love of God on the earth. That's where it's needed the most. That's what we're doing today, okay? That's why we're going to sing our song. I never know what's going to come out when I just start flowing. I believe I'm flowing in the Holy Spirit when I just start talking to you. I feel like we're in the same room right now. And I sense a lot of you feel that too. And you know what? That's the Lord. That's what I was just talking about. We are in the same room. Our seats are right here together in heaven. And that makes us feel joined like a body on earth. Number 603, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Let's turn it up one more notch. We're going to push the edge of our range this morning. Get a deep breath. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Guys, this is not religion. Jesus is not religion. Jesus is life. And we're going all in with him. I just think, and again, this is the whole point of John's message here. He's saying, church, listen, you got a few things off kilter, and it's messed up your whole understanding of life and the power and the love of God. It's kept you from getting on with the gospel. That's what we're trying to do is get back on kilter, get back in alignment with the actual teaching of the Bible and not just the folk religion of the 20th century that's run its course. Wasn't all wrong, just wasn't all right. It's time to get on with the gospel, friends. Time to dig the well deeper. There's a generation. There are generations. There's Gen Z. There's Gen Alpha. There's Gen Beta. They're coming along behind us, and we need to leave them a deep well. Okay? That's how we're going to go out. Okay, I got to go. It's time to hit the fields. You got to go too. Get your seeds. I've given you, we got a song for the road today. Let's keep singing it all day long. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.